Hello, and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series. This is called, Are You Hot or Cold? What Would Jesus Say? This is part one. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Today, we are truly living in the last days. And it's a time where God wants the world to know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. This can be the last chance for many people to accept Christ before the tribulation period. And we're approaching that portion of Revelation, probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll be talking about the judgments during the seven-year tribulation period. We need to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the people that we know. Now, we cannot make anyone come to receive Jesus, but the Lord says we must warn them because He is warning them. People actually are being warned of God in their hearts. You need to come to me. You should not behave like that. And the Bible says we must also warn them so they'll know that this is really God talking to me. This person I know, this person I respect, this person I work with, this relative is telling me the same thing that I feel. I need to change my life, see? And this is the time we all need to do it more than ever. Because we are living prophetically in a time when the rapture can happen at any time. How many of you intend to go to heaven with Jesus? Let me see your hand. How many of you have loved ones, relatives, or friends, or acquaintances that don't know the Lord? Let me see your hand. Put your hands down. They're not going. And they will endure the worst time in human history. And my question to you is, are you telling them what's about to happen to them? Well, even as we get into this book, you're going to have a clear picture. And we're going to pray right now the Holy Spirit will say whatever He wants to say to us and that we'll have open hearts to hear what the Lord is saying to us today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for everything that You have already done in this service, how You've moved, You've touched, You've healed, You've brought deliverance, and the words of encouragement that You've given us. Now, Holy Spirit, You are the teacher. Jesus said You would teach us. And so even as we are studying this book of Revelation, we pray for divine understanding. Touch our minds and our hearts to receive today. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen and amen. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying to you today and be very prayerful as you listen. You see, the book of Revelation contains the last recorded words and actions of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. It reveals the final account of what humanity will experience during the end of time. This book, it focuses on the second coming of Jesus Christ. It talks about the judgment for those who reject Him, the disasters of the tribulation period, the establishment of Christ's kingdom on the earth. It talks about the destruction of Satan, praise the Lord, and the final judgment. The book of Revelation is Jesus talking to you. Revelation 1:1, it says, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which He gave Him to show His servants the events that must soon take place. And in Revelation chapter 22 and 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. So this is a message from Jesus Christ directly to you. Don't ever say the Lord has never spoken to me. Oh, yes, He did. It's right here in the book of Revelation. We have already discussed six of Christ's letters to the seven churches in Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia. And please remember that each of the messages that he gave them relate to us today. Jesus reveals seven methods of spiritual warfare that Satan uses to attack us and to destroy the church. Today, we will address Christ's letter to the church of Laodicea. Jesus warns Satan's temptation of partial devotion being acceptable to God is a lie. See, people think they can serve God the way they want. That's a complete lie from the devil. Now, Revelation 3 and 14, Jesus said to John, "To the angel or pastor of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, Jesus is the Amen. It means he is the final truth. All of God's revelation to humanity are found in the person of Jesus Christ. God has nothing more to say to mankind beyond Jesus Christ and this Bible. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except for me." In 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, "There is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God with humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And this is the message that God has given to the world." That opening verse I just read also talks about Jesus is the faithful and true witness from the Father. In John chapter 14 and 9, Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The words I speak are not my own, but they're from my Father who lives in me." So Jesus Christ is God's spokesperson. And Jesus was present, assisting God at the beginning of creation. In John 1 and 3, it says, "God created everything through Jesus, and nothing was created except through him." So the Lord begins his letter to the Laodicean church explaining who I am. I'm the Amen. I'm the faithful and true witness. I was with God at the beginning of creation, so please listen to what I am about to tell you. In verse 15, Jesus says to the church, "I know all the things that you do." Do you know that Jesus knows all of the things that you do? Not some of them, not most of them. He knows everything that you do. You can say, "Amen, praise the Lord, oh God, help me." Now listen to what he's saying to this church. "I know that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Wow. You never want the Lord to say that to you. But let me ask you a question today. How would Jesus evaluate your spiritual condition? Remember, he knows everything. He knows what you do. How would he evaluate your spiritual condition? Are you hot? Are you cold? Or lukewarm? For example, let me give you just a few things to consider, because some people, they ask, "Well, what do you mean by hot? What do you mean by cold? What do you mean by lukewarm?" Well, let me just give you, for your consideration, just a few things, okay? Are you hot? This means loving God, passionate about serving God, praying daily, reading and obeying the Bible 100%, attending church and Bible study whenever possible, sharing your faith, looking for Christ's return. Those are just a few identifiers for being hot. What about cold? Well, to be cold, it means to be disinterested in God and spiritual things. To love the world. To be enmeshed in this world system. But what about lukewarm? To be lukewarm means that you're not all in. It means that you're uncommitted. It means you're only friendly toward God, but you're not 100% in love with Him. You serve God at your convenience. You have no scheduled time for your prayers or your Bible study. You don't faithfully serve God in the church. Because attending God's house is not your priority. There's little giving going on. You rarely share your faith with others or not at all. Basically, you're a closet Christian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point? That's what it means to be lukewarm. Now, I ask a question. How would Jesus evaluate your spiritual condition? Are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? See, the answer to this question will help you to determine where you're going to spend eternity. The book of Revelation is about the last prophetic season in which we live before Jesus Christ returns. So it's time for all of us to do some serious soul searching. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, it puts it in that way. It says, if we were true judges of ourselves, if we were true judges of ourselves, punishment would never come to us because we'd correct it. We'd see our behavior and we take care of it and correct it. But unfortunately, most people are not true judges of themselves. Now, in Laodicea, the church people did not know their true spiritual condition or what Jesus really thought of them. They thought they were okay. I thought they were great. But Jesus described Laodicea's love relationship with him and God as being lukewarm. The people were distracted for ice today. Because you only have a couple of cubes. Can you put some ice in this water? Most people like their water cold. So we have preferences about how we like our food and how we like our water. And this is an illustration that Jesus has really given to us. He's really saying, why should we expect him to love our lives any way we want to serve it? Why should we expect him to accept our lives if we're cold toward him? He wants us to be hot. We enjoy our food hot. And when it's lukewarm, we send it back to the kitchen. How many of you love lukewarm food? You just love. You wait for the hot to get cool to lukewarm, then you eat it. Because I want to pray for you at the close of the service. There's nothing wrong with that. One of the problems with the church in Laodicea is they didn't realize their spiritual condition. And I'm afraid to say that many Christians or professing Christians don't really realize what the Lord thinks about their spiritual condition.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I'm beginning my prophetic summer series teaching on the book of Revelation. So I want you to invite family, friend, and co-workers to join us. Revelation is a prophetic book. It's not history. It reveals the future. Most of it is still an unfulfilled prophecy to come. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus himself. In Revelation chapter 22 and 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. Although rarely taught, the book of Revelation is one of the most important books in the Bible. Jesus is literally telling the Christian church what will happen in the near future and how to prepare for it. I would like to invite you to Spirit Life Church, where you will hear relevant messages like this every Sunday. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the Book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In verse 17, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "You don't realize that you are wretched." See, people think that God accepts their behavior. But he goes on to say to this church, "You want to have that type of relationship with me?" No, Jesus painted a very strong picture of his disgust. This was the problem in Laodicea because the church had formulated their own opinion about their spiritual condition. The church was blind to know its own needs and unwilling to face the truth of their condition based upon the word of God. And folks, this is where the church is today. Many churches. I want to read a survey. A nationwide survey of adult spiritual beliefs suggests that Americans who consider themselves to be Christians have a diverse set of beliefs. But many of those beliefs are contradictory or inconsistent with the Bible. Being a Christian means you follow the word of God. You obey the word of God. You don't contradict the word of God. It goes on to say large numbers of non-evangelical born-again adults believe that people have a choice of means to salvation, either grace alone or the salvation through works approach. That's not scriptural. The Laodicean church believed that their sometimey works could save them. Oh, they knew they weren't everything they should be, but they were doing something for God, and he should just accept that. That should be enough to get to heaven. Jesus said, "You don't realize that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked to me." And so he gave them a recommendation. Aren't you glad that the grace of God gives us another chance? Jesus said in verse 18, "I advise you to buy gold from me." Now, gold that has been purified by fire. "Also buy white garments from me so that you won't be ashamed of your nakedness." And he said, "Ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see correctly." And he said, "I discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference." Now, there's something else in this particular chapter that really should disturb us. In verse 20, listen to what it says. Jesus made an appeal to the church to let him in. Jesus Christ established the church, and yet in this church, he's knocking on the outside at the door saying, "Will you please let me in my church?" Something's wrong with that. When Jesus is asking for permission to come in the church, he said, "I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." And then he says, "Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's trying to say to the churches." How tragic that a church can become so lukewarm and proud that Jesus has to leave the church and stand on the outside and then knock on the door to come back in. That's a lukewarm church. Folks, what am I saying? Your Christian life cannot be mediocre. Jesus expects us to make him our priority. He said, "You must love the Lord your God." Not perhaps, You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. He didn't say some of it. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. He went on to say in Luke, he said, if you don't love me more than all of your most intimate relationships, if you don't love me more, you can't be my disciple. This lukewarm church was illustrating this fact, and Jesus said, I will spit you out. Kapui. You are not coming to heaven with me. See, that might be a surprise to some people, what he was saying there. But let me ask you a question. For those of you who like chewing gum, spit your gum out on the floor. Do you pick it back up and say, I'm taking this gum to heaven with me? Because if you do, I want to pray for you at the close of the service. What we spit out, we normally don't pick up and put it back in our mouths. So being lukewarm is not acceptable, church. It's just not. You can't have a lukewarm relationship with God. Salvation is a relationship with God. It's a love relationship with God. You wouldn't stand for someone who says that they love you to be indifferent towards you? To put other people before you? To just show up when you feel like it? Call when you feel like it? Show attention when you feel like it? And yet so many professing Christians treat the Lord in that way. He doesn't accept it. Stop calling yourself a Christian. Because you're lukewarm. And he spits lukewarm Christians out of his mouth. Now, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we're given a glimpse of the throne room in heaven. True spiritual worship is perhaps one of the greatest needs of our individual lives and in the church. Because to worship actually means to ascribe worth. When we worship, we're saying, Lord, you are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of honor and glory. And so in Revelation chapter 4, we begin to see worship in heaven. I want to read just a little bit of that to you. It says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice that I heard before that spoke to me, that was like a trumpet blast, that voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly, I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was from the Summer Revelation series called Are You Hot or Cold? What Would Jesus Say? This is part one. Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
You know, one of the most important things we have to remember as Christians is we need to seek God with all of our heart. The Bible says, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my heart and my soul pants after you. My soul thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. Father, I just pray for the people now that you would give us a hunger and thirst to know you in a better way. Father, just for the fact that these precious listeners are listening, Lord, to your word every day, we just pray that you will strengthen them, that you would put a real desire in their heart to go deeper in their love relationship with you, that they would fulfill the divine destiny that you've placed upon their lives. I pray for a blessing upon them today. Whatever they need, meet that need in their lives. And devil, your power is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for victory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.